the science is never settled, right? You will see that the narrative of the world is heating up and it's very, very dangerous is based on data and models that are heavily manipulated. And many scientists that I have interviewed are saying that the data is being tampered with and is being, you know, designed to fit the narrative and to the way they want us to believe that that it's the end of the world.
Hi everyone, this is Veronika Kirilenko of the New American Magazine. Late in June, the White House released a report calling for more research into partially blocking the sun to cool the planet. Almost simultaneously, the European Union called for global coordination in such efforts. While it sounds like something straight out of science fiction, interest in what's known as solar radiation modification is increasing in response to climate change alarmism. Although the latter is clearly a hoax, the consequences of solar radiation modification can be nothing short of catastrophic. Today, I'm speaking with Efrat Fenningson, a former chief executive of global corporations turned citizen journalist and activist based in Israel. Efrat, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's great speaking to you again.
Thank you, Efrat. So recently, you published an interesting investigation into the weather tweaking technologies that the global elites are moving forward with in their climate change crusades. Well, first of all, please tell me what triggered your concern and made you look into this controversial issue.
Well, I think like every other citizen around the world that's looking to the sky, seeing weird airplanes flying around, leaving white marks behind them that all of a sudden turn into clouds. And at the same time, many, many citizens and friends around me are reporting on, you know, heartburns, throat aches, burning eyes, and sometimes becoming sick, like really an equivalent in the days following those incidents. It just makes me question. And after COVID, I think everything makes me question. Yeah. I looked into it because I found out that the UN Climate Committee has published a report that no one has spoken about. And that was only a few months ago. It was in February where the Climate Committee published a report called One Atmosphere. And it was an expert review on the research and deployment of solar radiation modification, just like you said. And I looked into it and I found that that report is basically a set of technologies for the UN to try, for the UN to advocate for cooling the earth and fighting the threat of global warming. So That's highly related to the most popular topic these days, which is global warming or climate change, right? And so straight away, I asked myself, how come the mainstream media is not talking about this report? You know, it's a serious report. There are illustrations and talking about the deployments and experiments that are happening around the world and the dangers of these technologies. So how come this is not covered? Mm-hmm. And when I read the whole report, I think I got my answer. Surprisingly, there were a lot of dangers and risks outlined in this report and really explicitly with all the different impacts and effects that these kind of technologies could have on our ecological, social, health, geopolitical systems around the world. And so it's not a surprise that they wouldn't run to publish the results of this report. And on the other hand, I think the fact that this report was not going in the most popular narrative of, in order to fight climate change, we have to reduce carbon emissions. They weren't saying that. They were saying something else. Here's a whole other set of technologies that we can use in order to cool down the earth. And maybe, and this is just my speculation, people that are pushing for carbon emission reduction are not fan, they don't like it. And we know that the globalists love the carbon emission reduction because we're seeing how they are starting to implement it in, you know, digital wallets around the world, in measuring everything and every consumption that citizens take and everything we do, basically. And so I would say that carbon emission reduction is the best way or the best method for the globalist organizations to tighten the control over citizens' lives. And mm-hmm. so this is heavily promoted, including when a report like this comes out and it's hardly being covered because it's just not following that narrative. It's saying other things.
But they're still exploring these options. Would you please of give course. Us an overview of the earth cooling technologies explored by the United Nations and the risks that they can pose to people and broader ecosystems that we all are part of?
Yes. So basically, first of all, it's important to say that the authors of this report are unanimous in their basic assumptions that the Earth is warming, that carbon dioxide is a dangerous greenhouse gas, and without lowering the temperature, major disasters are expected. They all agree about that. And SRM, the solar radiation modification technologies, they basically simulate the natural phenomena that occurred during a volcanic eruption. For example, in 1991, there was a volcano in the Philippines called Mount Pinatubo. It erupted and 15 million tons of sulfur dioxide were emitted into the atmosphere, and the average global temperature were lowered by about 1 degree Fahrenheit over the next 15 months. So they're trying to imitate that again by unnatural means, right? And let's go over some of those techniques or those means. And by the way, this method, they say in the report that it's estimated in about $20 billion per year for every 1 degree Celsius of cooling. So, and for them, this is relatively cheap. Like they mm-hmm. mention it in the report that it's not expensive. Okay, so some of the alternatives that they're looking at. So, for example, injecting large amounts of particles into the stratosphere. This is a technology called SAI, stratosphere aerosol injection. And maybe we'll talk more about that one because that's the most broad one.
Yep.
And then they have other alternatives like painting the roofs of urban buildings in the color white so that it reflects the sun back to the stratosphere. Planting solar reflective crops that are solar reflective. That sounds like science fiction. Covering deserts with solar reflective materials and launching mirrors into space that can reflect more sunlight away from Earth. All these things are noted in this report, in this real report by the UN. It sounds like crazy talk. So most of these projects cost billions of dollars. They take years to complete. And even then, it is hard to know how effective they would be. But then there is this one technology called the SAI, which is stratosphere aerosol injection. And there is a nice diagram in this report, maybe you will put it in the video, showing the airplane flying, spraying aerosols, and then creating this white blanket over the stratosphere so that the sun rays that come down will be reflected back up. The diagram is there in the report.
What are they injecting into the stratosphere in front?
The aerosols, the materials that they're talking about, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're not revealing everything because there are some independent experiments that people have done that show really toxic materials, but here they are talking about
sulfur, I believe,
sulfur acid, and I think aluminum. I will find the different particles in a second and will tell you. Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they're focusing mainly on this approach of spraying the different particles and then reflecting the sunlight back to the stratosphere because it is the most researched, and some argue that it's the most actionable in terms of efficiency, cost, and timeliness. And then we have the head of the CIA, John Brennan, who spoke about climate engineering in general, but specifically in his speech in 2016 at the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations Conference. He said that this impressive technology for injecting particles into the stratosphere that blocks solar radiation in order to cool down the Earth is allowing more time for the world economy to switch from fossil fuels to green energy. And he says it's a relatively inexpensive plan, which will cost about $10 billion a year.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI and other geoengineering initiatives. Now, I could go on and on and on and on about the things that fascinate me, but rather than talk about them, I thought I'd stop here and start the conversation with Judy, and then I can take some of your questions.
So we're seeing that, you know, the UN is in this, their scientists, the climate committee, we're seeing people like John Brennan. You can also find in 2007, it's a video that is hard to find because it's been censored many times, but there was a UN Council meeting in 2007, and a former senior official at the US Department of Agriculture, her name is Rosalind Peterson, she raised the issue of chemtrails or geoengineering or SAI, it's all the same thing. She raised the issue with concern and warned of the worldwide dangers of climate engineering programs, spraying dangerous chemicals into the air. She said that these programs created in the name of climate crisis are not monitored and do not heed damage to ecosystems, soil, crops, or pollination. And so she was, you know, warning us big time back in 2007. Obviously, no one is paying attention, and whoever is running those experiments is able to continue with no problem. We're seeing, you know, one of the interesting things that are coming up in this report that they're saying is that comprehensive assessments of the effects of their deployment on human health, and they're giving some examples like radiation exposure, disease transmission, acid rain, and mm-hmm. air pollution. They're saying that all of these risks are not being studied enough, and we're lacking information about them. So they're raising them as possible risks. They know that there is a correlation between those things and SAI deployments. But they're not really telling us where it's being done or how much it's being done. The report is still keeping this quite vague. It is outlining morbidity from heat stress, water resources, flood risks, storm damages, like a lot of dangers. It's revealing to us different diseases, biodiversity risks, food security, ocean ecosystems and fisheries, like a lot of dangers to many, many ecosystems. As well, by the way, possible risk of malaria in places where they do these experiments. Like they are saying that in the report. They're also outlining destructive effects of deployments that are not well planned, such as devastating floods in part of Northern Europe and severe drought in the middle Mediterranean region. So obviously they know something if they're specifically mentioning Northern Europe with floods and drought in the Mediterranean region. They know that some of the experiments or the experimental deployments that are running are causing these things. Otherwise, they wouldn't be so specific in the report with these examples. They're giving them to us, you know? So
it sounds like they know exactly what they're doing. They know about all these terrible risks to human, to ecosystems, to the surroundings, to the ecology in general, to food, you said, food shortages, yes, because it will affect crop yields, acid rains, you mentioned. Like, what are they doing?
And that's really disturbing, if they know it, why are they not revealing where they're doing it? Because we're seeing it's happening, but we don't have any formal confirmation from any government to say that they're actually doing it.
But at the same time, we know that at least one country has already banned such experiments, namely Mexico. They said, we want nothing of that.
Yes, and the report also talks about countries that explicitly say that they don't want to be involved in such experiments, that they will have a problem because their neighboring countries that will experiment with it cannot control the natural movement of those aerosols in the atmosphere. It will reach them even if they don't want to. So In a way, they're saying in the report that this technology can be used as a weapon, can be used as a geoengineering weapon from one country to another to create chaos or fear in the citizens' eyes of the country that is not involved. There are some freaky stuff in this report, but they are telling us a lot. And then I'm thinking to myself, why are they telling us so much? And then I think that, you know, during COVID, we looked back and we found a lot of materials like Event 209, for example, 201, for example, where they did the experiment for COVID, right? There were many things that we found in hindsight, looking back, showing that they did tell us that some things are coming, right? That they did expose some truth before things have happened. And I'm wondering to myself whether this is a similar case, whether in a few years' time we are going to discover that they have been telling us a little bit of their plans, of what they are trying to do in the world, but just not disclosing everything, just not telling us like the full picture. So this lack of transparency and candor in geoengineering, to me, it reminds COVID and the health systems and how they, you know, they lack transparency there as well.
Well, like with mass vaccinations during COVID, they believe that risks outweigh the benefits, right? I mean, exactly. Benefits outweigh the risk. They believe that the climate change, or want us to believe that the climate change is such a catastrophic, such a terrible danger to all of us, that we'd rather spray our stratosphere with sulfur and other toxic chemicals. And that, by the way, one of the risks, as noted in yet another United Nations report, is that it is a depletion of ozone. And they know that this sulfur would cause ozone to thin, and it's a protective layer that serves all of us, right? And, you know, it's not like we cannot predict the consequences, by the way, of cooling the planet. Think about it. You mentioned the eruption of the volcano in 1991, but there was another big one in 1816 It was a catastrophic year without a summer when nature conducted its own sun shadowing experiment. Volcanic eruptions had built up a substantial amount of atmospheric dust, preventing sunlight from passing through the stratosphere. And as a result, global temperatures fell by no more than 1 degree Fahrenheit. And what did it lead to? Production of crops fell drastically, and severe food shortages and famine swept across the Northern Hemisphere. And now serious looking people at the United Nations and then World Economic Forum, as well as notorious George Soros and Bill Gates, are proposing to spend billions of dollars to do precisely that and more. Efrat, am I overreacting? Is it really, really something that we do not want to engage in?
Well, you know, as we've seen during COVID and now in other areas of our lives, we see Bill Gates being involved in different initiatives that are happen to be impacting our lives in a major way. For example, with food and nutrition, we see Bill Gates going into a startup called Appeal, where they're taking care of the peel of different fruits and vegetables to make them last longer, and they're engineering them as well, genetically engineering them. So messing around with our food, we see Bill Gates messing around with our climate when he's funding startups that are supposed to create a blanket over the sky to send the sun rays back to the stratosphere, just like the SAI. I forgot the name of this startup, but he's one of their investors. And this startup is operating today in the US. So experimenting, definitely experimenting with SAI technologies. So Bill Gates is in that space as well. He's in, and obviously in health, in vaccines, etc. So we know wherever he is, there's something cooking, and there's something for us to, you know, be aware of or pay attention to. So I think it's really important that we pay attention to that. And by the way, I'm not a scientist to say about global warming or cooling of the earth. I do know to go and research and learn from scientists that give a dissident voice to this whole narrative of the world is warming up and we need to save it, unless if we don't do that, then it's the end of the world. And there's a great video in that respect in the Senate. It's a Senate hearing from 2014 in which Senator Ted Cruz is questioning, or even more precisely grilling, the head of the Sierra Club for not admitting that since 1998, there is no warming whatsoever. So that's a really good video. There's a link there that I'll give you. You can put it in as part of this video that we're doing, because
for sure,
it just goes to show that the science is never settled, right? You will see that the narrative of the world is heating up and it's very, very dangerous is based on data and models that are heavily manipulated. The IPCC, which is the global organization that collects the worldwide data to prove that there is global warming, their data and models are questionable, very, very questionable. And many scientists that I have interviewed are saying that the data is being tampered with and is being, you know, designed to fit the narrative and to the way they want us to believe that that it's the end of the world.
Why do they want us to believe that this is the end of the world? How do you answer this question? What's their primal objective? Objective that they're trying to achieve here?
Well, first of all, I believe that another crisis to put us in fear is what they need. And they've been trying to do that with the climate crisis for a long, long time, and it didn't succeed. And it looks like now it's money time for them with climate, and they're going all in with that crisis. Secondly, I think that the climate crisis is perfectly situated or positioned to bring us to CBDCs, which is digital money, as you know, because if we are all agreeing that there is a climate crisis and that we do need to tax us little peasants, right, that we work hard and we create energy and life on this planet for the globalists, the slave race, I would say, then we're the ones that are supposed to accept new taxes in the name of the global warming and the climate crisis. If we accept new taxes on ourselves, the method or the shape and form of these taxes is going to be with CBDCs in our digital wallet. So everything we will do to buy something, to purchase, to travel, to go somewhere, will be through our digital ID system and digital money inside our digital wallet, and it will all be measured with the, you know, the carbon emissions will be measured in our wallet, and based on that, the authorities, the governments will know how to tax us and how to control us. So basically, climate crisis is classically positioned to take us to a world of complete domination, complete control with digital money. And you know, and then obviously to a world of transhumanism where we're digitally controlled in whatever we do, whether it is with or without chips. So I think that this current climate crisis is very important for the globalists, and I think they do have to do whatever they can, just like they write in this UN report that now everything is allowed. Like we've reached such a stage that climate crisis is such a big danger and risk to our lives that everything goes. You know, you can do everything. You can try everything, including spraying stuff from the atmosphere that you don't know what it will do to our health. So yeah, they're giving themselves all the excuses they can to experiment on stuff, to intrude our lives, to obviously not ask us whether we accept or not to breathe that kind of air that they're creating for us, and whether we buy into that narrative of, you know, end of the world climate crisis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and by the way, I wanted to tell you, I found an open letter signed by 400 scientists from 60 countries calling on the United Nations and national governments to sign an international non-use agreement on solar engineering.
Wow.
Yes, but who is listening to them? Nobody responded. Yeah, I will send it to you. Like, who cares about these scientists from 60 countries, like the best of the best, but...
When did they publish this letter?
At least several years ago, I think.
Okay. Yeah, no one's listening to them. And there are many of them, obviously, just like in COVID, where we had dissident doctors and scientists speaking against the narrative. Even here in the climate crisis, we have a lot of physicists and professors for chemistry and climate professors. They're all not all, but many of them are speaking against the narrative, and they're being censored just the same. It's the same story all over again.
Well, this is so fantastic that you keep up such an amazing investigative journalism. Ifrat, I would like to thank you so much for your amazing work and for your time today. Please tell us what is the best way to follow you and your work.
I think on Twitter, that's the best place to find me.
And of course, you have a Substack, which is a great source, you know, to keep an eye on.
Thank you so much, dear.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Of course, anytime. That was Ifrat Fenixon, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Veronika Kirilenko of The New American Magazine.
Freedom is the cure.
You're dead on. This is the largest experiment performed on human beings in the history of the world.
The more you know.
What they're doing is they're forcing vaccination on people, and I believe they are killing people with this vaccination.
The freer you are.
It's murder. They are basically murdering people in hospitals.
The all-cause mortality, we know, is now higher in the vaccinated group than the unvaccinated group.
Stay informed on the issues that affect freedom. Get a subscription to The New American today, thenewamerican.com.